Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Hey, I've got a picture of a horse on a screen. Are you excited? No? Okay. Deb's excited. She likes horses. And I'm going to talk just a little bit about horses, and especially the way that our mission partners down at Wildwood Hills Ranch use horses to help kids. Now, this particular picture of this particular horse, full disclosure, is not actually from Wildwood Hills Ranch, but the horse looks very similar, and that's a child. So that's what you get. But the kids at Wildwood Hills Ranch practice taking care of horses and riding horses as part of the work that they do down there. And the ranch director, his name is Matt, he told a story to us about why it is that horses help so much the kids who are at Wildwood Hills Ranch. So kids go to Wildwood Hills Ranch after they've been through a lot, and they have a hard time sort of handling their emotions and their fears and their angers and frustrations. And horses help them with that. And the reason why, Matt says, is that horses are naturally really skittish. They're naturally kind of scared of what's going to happen next. And that means that they are just totally tuned into, is there a threat? Is everything okay? And so the ranchers have to learn how to interact really calmly with the horses, and the horses will let the ranchers know how calm they're being. And so they have to settle down their minds and their spirits so that they can interact with horses really well. And that is especially helpful practice for kids who have trouble kind of regulating themselves. So the horses, even though they are a whole different animal outside of that kid, they help the kid change and transform deep down inside. And our scripture reading today is going to be about deep down inside transformation. So you can look right through the scripture reading to the horse that you'll still be able to see while Paul reads for us.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 21. And please follow along while I read it, and I'm constantly amazed at the urgency that Paul has in his letter to the Romans. But let me begin now with prayer. O God, whose voice calls us in the thunder, in the earthquake, and in the fire, speak to us now in words of Scripture. Still all voices within us that are not your own. By the power of your Holy Spirit, open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to hear what you would have us to hear, and to become the people you would have us be. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. It has me thinking about the patterns that shape our lives, both good and bad. We are celebrating our partners at Wildwood Hills Ranch today. You're going to hear more from Bob Hittle about what they do there and how we can be involved. But at Wildwood Hills Ranch, our partners there serve kids whose lives have been shaped by patterns of abuse and neglect, of chaos, whose lives have been shaped in ways that have taught these self-reinforcing behavior issues that may be identified one way in a school setting, but we know that there's something deeper than that going on in the life of these kids. Michaela learned a pattern of suppressing her own feelings, focusing instead on the more obvious needs of her 9 siblings, and she learned that she was only valued herself and she was caring for someone. And so she found herself dealing with depression, dealing with homelessness. She found herself expressing the pain that she felt inside, expressing that as violence against herself. And she couldn't break that pattern on her own. The patterns that we struggle with might be a lot more moderate than that, although they're not always. I know there's room for that as well. But I invite you to just sort of notice what are some of the patterns that we have learned from the world around us. What are the patterns that have been shaping us as we have moved through our lives? The ways that we would describe, well, that's just how things are. Patterns that teach us to decide whom we're going to trust based on whether we identify them as part of our group or part of some other group. Patterns that assume that we are competition with each other, even when we share common goals. Patterns that teach us to take whatever we can, however we can get it, because otherwise someone else will take it instead. Patterns that teach us to assume that we are not safe, that we can't show vulnerability, or rather, we may have to perform vulnerability, but always with. I invite us just to notice some of the patterns that have shaped us and to notice how Jesus would see and interact with those same patterns. Our scripture reading today talks to us about patterns. For several weeks, Paul has been writing to us. We've been reading in this letter to the Romans about God's reality that breaks into the world around us when God intervenes for us and within us to change and transform the world as we live in it. And so we read this long narrative about this contrast between election and inheritance, talking about righteousness being a gift that we just receive, not that we earn through whatever it is we do. The world would teach us our belonging. We have to earn our place and our role in the world, but the gospel tells us that we belong to God forever as a gift. We belong to God forever as a gift given to us in Jesus Christ. And so grace, that's what it is. And grace is not even just for us, not just about our belonging. Grace is not world, and that reconciliation begins with us. And then Paul's letters always turn with that urgency that this other Paul talked to us about. The urgency of this transformed world, Paul's letters always turn to some practical talk. What does transformation look like in the lives that we live here and now? And so Paul tells us, try to make sense of the world. It looks like sharing our gifts with each other and honoring one another. It looks like hospitality to strangers and even generosity to those that we would count as enemies. Again, because there's so much good stuff in there. And what would the world look like if Christians actually lived like that? What would the world look like if Christians actually lived just like this one chapter in the book of Romans? So, a word to our incoming elders who will be ordained and installed in just a minute. They're kind of in came already. They've been at work for a couple of months now. But this transformation that Paul is talking about, to the work that you all are called and about to be ordained and installed to do, which is the work of discerning God's good and acceptable and perfect will. That's the work that elders do in the church. Your role is to lead the church in such a way that it's not only you discerning the will of God, but the whole church is able to recognize and respond to God's calling. And so, as elders, we work on session to create a community where we can practice listening to each other so that we might hear and discern God's good and acceptable and perfect will among us. And so that calls for all of your reason, all of your imagination, all your faith, and all your understanding, and all of our patience with one another. Michaela down at Wildwood Hills Ranch needed space and patience as well. She needed some space where she could be transformed. She needed space where she could practice vulnerability and leadership. So the ranch counselors, they offered support and patience and love. The overall program there offers a 10-year commitment. That was longer than anyone had been committed to Michaela before. Consistency, more consistency than she had received anywhere else in her life. And really crucially, the ranch offers relationships, relationships with peers and with animals and with adults and with God. I say as if God is not already present in every one of those other relationships as well. And God works through those relationships, through our relationships here, to transform us, however imperfectly we manage to be transformed. God is at work transforming us into lives that embody the gospel of Jesus Christ. So may it be. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
You've heard a bit already about Wildwood Hills Ranch, and this isn't the first time or the only time that you'll hear about it, but we're at a point where we have some information that we think can convert into our action. We adopted this partnership with the ranch, and a partnership means that we are to contribute. In that regard, we asked the ranch, tell us what you need, tell us where we can help. Last year, sort of at the last moment, they said, well, we have this group of 130 men coming in for a weekend retreat. Can you help us? And we responded magnificently. The number of people and the different shifts that we used to help with the food service, serving, cleaning up afterwards, setting up for the next meal, etc. It was marvelous, and it was a great start for Covenant's participation. Now they have provided us with details, many details. The campers are coming in, the ranchers are coming in starting tomorrow for 7 weeks. That's 4 weeks in June and 3 weeks in July. There's no campers there the 4th of July week. They take that off. There are some forms that are back at the table in Fellowship Hall, where I will be after service. There's four forms back there. There's one that is a brief form of the information that the ranch needs so that they can run a background check for everybody that comes to the ranch. There's also a detailed sign-up sheet, information sheet, on the specifics of where they need help. There's a memo on Covenant's involvement and relationship, developing relationship with the ranch. And then there's another form for activities and special talents that people may have that fill the needs there. I know they have apparently a marvelous woodworking shop. They need somebody to help with that. It would be somebody other than me. there's other areas listed on this form that you can look at and see if any of that fits your interests and your capabilities. The equine program is of interest to everybody, or to a lot of people, but they need somebody that, if they're going to participate in that, that has real knowledge of working with horses and so forth. In other words, we're not going there for a party, we're going there to help. So there's a lot of information. I hope you pick it up. There are two particular areas of need that they've identified with the youth coming in. They need help on Monday for the youth coming in. I don't know exactly what that help is, but they have a process that they go through in terms of getting the youth in, getting them registered, and getting them situated. They have also a process on Friday when they check out after lunch, I believe. And they said there's a specific need for some help in those areas. You'll be able to find the information table related to the ranch very easily. One, it doesn't have any Girl Scout cookies on it. Secondly, it has a backdrop of some beautiful photographs taken by the Thompsons on the first winter snow at the ranch. And if you remember the first winter snow last year, it was perfect. It was that wet snow that just hung on trees and everything, unspoiled by car tracks and dirt and all that other stuff. And Bob and Susie traveled to the ranch and got some marvelous shots of that. So that's what is attached to the behind the table out there. So Bob and Susie have been very, very supportive of so many mission projects for the church. And this is one that we presented to Matt, the director, the idea of what could they do with the talent and the capabilities of the Thompsons. And those photos that are there will be framed, will go in various living quarters at the ranch. And when the youth are not there, the ranch is available for commercial rent. Families, businesses, meetings, etc. Those photos will hang there, and they'll have a price tag on them. And whatever ones are sold, the price proceeds will go to the ranch. Compliments of the Thompson. So I hope to see you at the table after, and I don't think I missed anything, after church, and pick up some material and ask any questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.